what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and I'm very excited to bring you this special presentation because that here during Survivor 40, Winners at War, we have done our best to try to reach out to a bunch of different winners to get them here onto the podcast. And so a couple of weeks ago, I reached out to our JT Whisperer, Stephen Fishback, and I said, hey, do you think that JT would want to talk about the season and maybe maybe give him a call and see what he has to say? And you guys can talk about what's going on here in season 40. Stephen thought, okay, that sounds like a fun idea. And here we are. Stephen was able to get a hold of JT. And so I have a special presentation here for you today where Stephen Fishback called up his old buddy, JT Thomas, and they got on the horn to catch up and talk a little bit about what is going on here in Survivor 40. So I hope you enjoy Stephen and JT back together in this special episode of Rob as a Podcast.
Okay. So I guess I'm recording now. This is Stephen Fishback recording for Rob has a Podcast with a very special guest, JT Thomas. JT, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to talk with you, man.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one, I think, for a lot of listeners because, you know, you're not going to have any subtitles.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully they'll be able to understand me. I'm sure you'll help translate.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Token Chains was actually airing that you kind of got actually annoyed about the subtitles.
Well, some people can hear themselves talk and some people can't. And unfortunately, yeah, until Token Chains, I really did not know that I had this bad of a southern drawl. So I was just, I thought I had a normal accent. And then I heard myself play back and I was like, whoa. Oh man, that was kind of a shocker. I could have changed that years ago. You know, it was too late now.
Oh no, that's what's your whole persona. I mean, it was that sweet southern drawl of yours that transfixed the jury into giving you the $1 million.
Yeah, well, we'll pretend like I did that on purpose too, then.
So it's exciting to talk to you. Obviously, the big question that I always get from people are you and JT still friends? And so, I want to know from you, are we still friends?
Of course we are, man. If you're still happy, we're still friends. As long as we don't have to play Survivor together,
No, people say we are one of the great duos of all time. I feel like, this is, part of our legacy is being a great duo.
I think so. I have to agree with them. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, we could have been a slightly better duo if, things had been, a little bit different at the end, but yeah. up until a certain point.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it worked out like it did, but to be fair, it almost worked out for you. So you remember how close it was in the last challenge.
Yeah, I've relived that many, many times, how close that last challenge was. Kept me up at night for a lot of years. I want to talk to you obviously about this season, and that's sort of what we had, decided we would talk about, but I want to talk about Token Chains and your whole Survivor journey and, all of that fun stuff too. So I'm not sure where to jump in, but my first memory of you was, I think it was in the Palmas airport. It was in one of those little regional airports. And we were all sitting at separate tables. Cause we're all separated. And you had the only one of us with the spirit, you just went up to the vendor and bought a Coke. And I was so envious of this Coke that you went and bought. And I think you could see the envy on my face. And you were kind of gesturing to me to let me know how to go and purchase this Coke. And so I instantly was oh, this guy is really nice. He's helping me get a Coke.
You know what? I haven't thought about that, but I do remember that vaguely. Yeah. But it was such a weird place and a weird Coke too. I mean, everything was there different, but it was a real small airport. I remember that. But yeah. The first time that I remember that, man, that's the earliest memory I have of you too, now that you brought that up. But my first thought that comes to mind is that when we're sitting there at, pregame in the tents and we're all in there about to eat those eggs that we had every single day. And I remember just kind of sizing people up. And I didn't know what to think of you, man. I didn't think you were going to make it. I was like, oh, this guy right here is not going to make it. Maybe he's not on my team.
And Coach was such a beast, right? Like Coach, it was like, and you and he was like giving you a lot of like eye contact during pregame.
Oh yeah, Coach definitely was. I thought he looked just like Steven Seagal myself. He was a lot bigger, yeah. You know, pregame before we started taking cheese. He was I guess he was working out, you know, but I don't think he's been that big since we went on turkey cheese.
Yeah, he was huge. Like, I feel like people like forget that. It's just like he was like super muscly. And Tyson too. Like Tyson just had like giant pecs.
Yeah, he did. I didn't know what to think of Tyson. I knew he was going to be an athlete though. I thought Coach was going to be a heck of an athlete too, but it didn't turn out quite like that. But he was an athlete, but not near as competitive as like Tyson.
Well, I think Coach got better too before Heroes Villains. Like he kind of gassed out a lot in the early Token Chains challenges, and I think he kind of really trained aggressively for Heroes Villains.
I think he definitely did too. He was more of a competition then. I think you're right.
Yeah. Do you have any like favorite memories just from your like? I mean, other than obviously like winning the show, like what are some when you like look back at like the whole Survivor experience? Like what are some of your favorites?
Man, I think probably some of the times that we were, when we realized that we may be in control and we would sneak away from the tribe down there to talk and just like, oh, man, we got a good chance here. You'd be soaking your elbow. Where you hurt your elbow. I was like, man, those moments are cool, man. That and the breakfast, me, you and Aaron and of course all the rewards, especially Governor's Retreat. Those are probably my favorites.
Yeah, like I had injured my elbow, like I had like banged it at Exile Island and like swelled up like the size of a tennis ball. And so like because like there was basically obviously if there were a hospital I could go to or even a refrigerator, I could have gotten like some ice for it and iced it. But instead, the doctors were like, OK, why don't you soak that in the water? And as a result of that, like so every day I had to like go soak it in the water for like 15 or 20 minutes. And then as a result, like that kind of like gave us the chance to just sort of like go off together and like hang out by the water. And like, I guess because there were just two of us, nobody was worried about us. But yeah, like we would just be like, man, I can't believe it. This is working. And my favorite moments were always like at Tribal Council, like whenever we had just pulled off a blindside, like we would almost always be on opposite sides of the thing. And we would just like exchange a look, and, you know, and we just like knew that it was like somehow like magically this was all going according to plan.
And, you know, I remember that too, Steven. That look was like, we did it. Another one down, you know. But that soaking your elbow was definitely a good opportunity for us. Really, I don't know why nobody ever got curious or, you know, tried to keep up with what we were doing. But they basically thought we were just going to be pawns the rest of the game. So we were just like, could not believe it how easily things were going our way.
Yeah. And I sometimes feel like that was like a completely different game we played back then than it is now. Like it just seems, you know, the idea that you could form an alliance and that alliance would last all the way to the end, you know, and that there would only be like two or three alliances in the game. It just was like a different universe.
It was completely different, man. It was so different. You know, it's like we came in at the perfect time. That was probably the last season that a lot stuck together all the way through the game. But we did, man.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this season because that's sort of, you know, the context for what we're talking about. You obviously played a lot with, you know, a lot of these people, and I want to get your perspectives on all of that. Like, have you been keeping up with the show?
Yes, I have. I have to, man. It's part of my life now.
Yeah, probably like everyone always comes up to you and is like, did you see that last episode or whatever?
Exactly. Anybody that watches the show, when they see me, they're like, you have to get my perspective on it, of course.
Yeah. Now, were you bummed not to be out there this season?
You know, I was bummed, but I just played in 2017 and I almost told myself, you know what, I got to have a break. I'm trying to focus on things at home. And I was like, you know what, so... It kind of worked out for the best, but obviously now watching it, you always want to be out there, you know. But, you know, who knows? I might play again, but if I don't, I'm happy. I played three times already.
So, and won.
Yes, and I won the first one. It's almost like I may have should have quit after the first one, you know, but I'm such a competitor, I can't help it, man. I'd probably play again, but I don't know. It's kind of I wish I was out there right now, but if we were out there, I'd be wishing I was not.
Well, that's so like every time, like the thing that people always say, right, when they go back is like, oh, my God, I forgot how terrible it is. Do you have that experience when you go back? You're like, oh, my God, this is horrible. I didn't remember how terrible it was.
You know what? It's the opposite for me. Every time I go, it's easier and easier. The parts that were hard in Brazil and Tocantins was the hunger and the long, boring days. I mean, they were tough.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, I kind of get boring, but, well, I guess it's less boring because there's a lot more going on, you know, definitely a lot more going on around camp now. But the hardships are really, I guess, doing the hardest one first probably helped out a lot, you know. It's not really going to get much harder than that.
So you feel like Tocantins was the hardest season you played in terms of like just the elements and everything?
For sure. Tocantins was definitely the hardest one I played.
Yeah.
You know, we had no food in Tocantins.
Yeah. I forget that sometimes. Like we were like truly starving. We would have like a spoonful of rice like a day.
Yeah, exactly. And we had to ration it or we wouldn't have it. You know, it was tough for a little while.
Yeah. I remember that like I would like sometimes drop rice on the ground and then I would like pick it up from the dirt and eat it because I didn't want to be like seen to be dropping rice.
You're the only one that would do that. I used to think, man, why? How's he doing that? So much dirt and grit in that rice. But you were just like figuring it off the dirt, just dirt and all. I was like, holy cow, this guy's hungry.
Well, but it was crazy because, like, you know, you never, like, people were, you know, you judge each other for things. Like,
oh, yeah.
It feels like now you'd never judge someone for, you know, like, how much they ate or whatever. I mean, maybe you'd be annoyed at it, but you wouldn't, like, vote someone out. But we were voting people out because, like, you know, one of the reasons we voted Sandy out was because she always, like, took the good seat in the van.
Yes. Well, you remember how much Brendan used to eat? We were like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
If he goes, we may all get to eat.
Yeah, he would just cook like constantly. We would finish one meal and he would like start cooking the next meal. We were like, yeah, we've got to vote this guy out or we're all going to starve to death.
He would eat the entire time too. I lose shells.
Yeah, he would just like constantly spoon himself food. That's right. I totally forgot about that. Oh my God. And then one of my other, I remember early on, one of the things that like kind of bonded us is like, we would go fishing while like everyone else was sort of, you know, they would, and we were trying to like make a fire with my glasses. Like you and I were like at it trying to make a fire with my glasses. And then we would also go fishing and like everyone else was kind of like chilling out. And I feel like that was one of the things where we were both like really focused on doing the hard work, that like sort of like brought us together as an alliance.
That's definitely right. I mean, I remember building the shelter and stuff, and you were just up front. You're like, look, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll do anything. Just tell me what you need help with. I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing. But I mean, you were right there. I mean, you didn't have anything to do with, you know, digging holes or building shelter, but you were right there the entire time, the hard work and the not so hard work. And I mean, that's how you win me over, you know, somebody that's willing to sacrifice and, you know, put forth the effort for everybody's benefit, you know. That's cool.
Yeah. So what do you think about, like, I mean, the you know, so the, like the game then versus the game now? I mean, what do you think, for example, about the edge of extinction? Like, I can actually, like, most people, right, are like kind of against it, but I can kind of even see you like being into the idea of it.
You know, for me, it's definitely for me, that's the way to go, because the hardest part, what made it difficult for me to be blazing at the bit to come back and play would be, when you get voted out, it's not near as fun, obviously. In Brazil, I didn't have any dead time, but when you're voted out and you're sitting in Ponderosa and you're thinking about the hardships your family or friends may be going through for you, and here you are sitting there, you know, drinking cocktail every day and wake up at lunch, you know, just do nothing and just sit there. And that part is hardest for me. I'd rather be suffering somewhat, you know, still stranded on the island, than I would be sitting at Ponderosa beating myself up. And if there's a 1 in 20 shot that I go back from, you know, edge of extinction or exile island, whatever you want to call it, back into the game, then shoot, yeah, I'll do it for that small percentage of a chance, you know.
As a viewer, does it bother you? You know, I think some people like are bothered because it's like the purity of the game has been compromised. Like, you know, they want to see people when they're voted out, be voted out. Like, obviously, as a player, like you want that other chance. But as a viewer, does it like, do you like it less?
It takes, I haven't really thought thought about if I like it or not. You can't hardly, I think it's you don't need to have very much play time, I would think, coming from the edge, because, you know, they are voted out. I would think, as a viewer, I don't know, it's okay to me. I think I can see where other people may not like it, you know.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this season, and then, you know, some of the people, obviously, who you've played with like quite a number of them. You know, you've been on a tribe with Tyson. You've been on a tribe with Sandra. Were you ever on a tribe with Tony? You played with Tony.
I played with him, but Tony and I were never on the same tribe.
I mean, obviously you played against Boston Rob. Who else? There's like a bunch of them that have been on this season that you played with.
Is there a bunch? Let's see.
I guess it's Tyson, Rob, Parvati, Sandra, and Tony. Maybe Parvati, right? Of course, yeah, yeah. And you know, obviously, you know a lot of these guys just from having been, you know, in this world. So tell me, who do you think is like playing a good game, and like who are you excited about, and who's going to take it all?
It's so hard to say who's playing like a good game now, because a drop of a hat and there you are, your good game is right out the door. So, but you know, I like the way Tony's playing. Obviously, he had a great past couple weeks. And I'm impressed with him, because I got to know Tony. And Tony is, you cannot lie to Tony. I mean, he can see it a mile away, you know, so it's hard for him to keep his cool and not like call someone out or get paranoid. So, you know, I'm really impressed with how he's keeping it together. And you know, obviously, I never played with Jeremy, but I really like Jeremy, and I think he's been doing a good job. But, I was glad to see them kind of come together last week, but you know, these alliances are roadie bots are short lived, you know, as far as personal relationships go these days. But, you know, I like Sarah's played a good game, and, you know, it's so easy to see at home, but just as soon as you get the least little bit of confidence, it's almost like that's where you're going. And, you know, it was kind of a joy to see Sandra get what was coming to her early in the game when she got confident. So I think Denise has obviously played a good game too.
You shared with me about Tony, the great story about how like you guys used to play poker together at Ponderosa, and he was just like uncanny in how good he was.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't play a lot of poker, but I know how to play, you know, so we're sitting down, and I was just going to, I picked up on it. Malcolm and Tony were playing, and Tony was pretty good, but, like he's got it in his mind to follow, I guess, the code of poker, what you should do to play the hand that gives you the best odds to win, is how he kind of, if you don't play that way, he's like against you. So I was just going to, you know what, I'm going to try something this time. And I was going to act out my hand, you know, I was going to bluff or whatever you want to call it. And we did that immediately before I even could finish making my first bet. He said, "That's too much acting for me in folds." I had to try to play it off, you know, and carry out the hand, but I didn't tell him then, but I told him later. But, man, he called it a mile away. And I mean, I knew he was like that in the game, and just the instinct he has is, very sharp. So, you know, I think Tony would do well if he could get past that initial, discomfort that he leaves everybody when he's building his, little spy trooper shack and all this other crazy stuff. That's kind of where he loses them, you know. But I gotta believe if Tony's gonna be in the game this long, he's gonna do well. And Jeremy, he's fighting for his life every week, you know. So I think hopefully he's gonna do well too.
Yeah, so when you went out there for Game Changers, like Tony obviously had a big reputation. Was like, why was that? I mean, different. You know, were you worried about him then? Like, you know, seeing him in Ponderosa pregame, were you like worried that, like, oh my God, this guy, this maniac Tony? Like, what was it about Tony in Game Changers, you think, that he just got like immediately sniped versus like now, where he seems to actually be doing incredibly well?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Tony was one of my biggest concerns in Game Changers, because, you know, I'd only seen him play one time, but he dominated that game. And he was very in your face, kind of, you know, he just call you out. And I don't do so well with that. You know, like I wasn't sure how I was going to handle him. You know, kind of smooth over conversations I thought him and I may have. But fortunately, I think most people were scared to play against him. So, but when he got voted out early, I was actually relieved. I know a couple other people were, but then as I got to know him at Ponderosa personally, I mean, it's nothing like what I thought, you know, but, still it'd be hard to try to deceive or trick in anything.
I mean, I would just like having seen him play, I would be very scared of playing against him, because, you know, he's like, he just flips around so much. Like, yes. You kind of want to play with people who are like, you know, a little more reliable.
Exactly. Exactly right. I didn't know how to play with Tony or against Tony. My first thoughts going into it was, I got to get rid of Tony first.
So, and were you on a tribe with Sarah? I'm sorry, this is so embarrassing that I don't remember any of this.
I'm sorry, man. I can't remember either. A lot of stuff, but yeah. Sarah and I were on the same tribe to start the show, start the game. And we were tight, really tight.
Yeah, because, like, you know, one thing that I didn't think came across in Game Changers, which, you know, there seems to be a better, you know, better emphasis of this now, is just like how charming she is. Like, everyone seems to love Sarah. Like, what was it about her that, like, connected you early on in Game Changers?
Well, she was just straightforward, and she's down to earth. And I mean, we knew immediately that we were on the same page. You know, she was just genuine. And I mean, just, I don't know, just a way you could tell. I knew immediately that we could work together and we could trust each other pretty much. And we were secretly like, that was my number one. I was her number one. And, you know, I just kept Ray, Culpepper, and Ozzy together. And, I mean, we were Cadillac'd until the switch. You know, so we were just solid. And I think we'd have been solid if we got back to, if I'd have made it any farther, too. But she done a really good job in Game Changers.
I mean, one of the big questions that I think everyone has now, you know, at this last episode where Tony, you know, kind of went behind her back to save Jeremy and vote out Sophie, like, you know, that really cut off Sarah kind of at the knees, because that was Sarah's number one ally. Like, do you think that Sarah is going to be able to kind of put this past her, or do you think she's going to be like, hey, I can't trust Tony anymore, I got to go my own way from now on?
I think Sarah's going to go to Tony and give him an ultimatum, basically, you know, say, how can I trust you, Tony? You did this, you know, make me trust you, basically. But I think she's obviously not going to be, you know, if the opportunity comes to benefit her and get rid of Tony, she's going to do it in a second. But because she knows how Tony is, she's scared of Tony also. She was so relieved, so relieved when he went home and Game Changers, because she knows that you can't beat around the bush with Tony. He's going to ask you the question you don't want to have to answer.
Oh, that's interesting. And I'm sure, too, like, for her, like, having Tony in the game was always a big target on her, because people would just assume that the two of them were together. It's like being in, like, a pair, kind of.
Exactly. And that's what she was afraid of back then. But I think now, you know, Tony cutting her out, cutting her knees out and getting rid of her top ally, you know, that's going to be hard for her to swallow, because she got blindsided totally.
Yeah. And you were talking a little bit about Jeremy, too. I mean, you guys have played somewhat similar games in terms of just being these sort of like hero figures on your respective seasons. But, you know, the good guys. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Can he ever get to the end? Like, it just seems to me like everyone is going to be terrified about, you know, the good guy. Like, who wants to be like sitting next to the end next to the good guy?
Well, he's got his work cut out for him, but. You know, to get to the end, he's not, by the time he gets there, he won't be the good guy anymore, you know, or at least not to the other contestants. But he's got to fight to stay alive. You know, the vote changes so much that you never know. But I think he has a chance. Do I think nobody's going to take him to the end. He's going to have to make his own path.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it seems like it's actually maybe more, it's easier now for someone like him to get to the end with all just like the twists and advantages. And, you know, I mean, obviously he had his sort of smoke bomb advantage, his safety without power advantage, where he could just leave tribal council and walk away. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, like that's a, can you imagine if someone in your alliance did that, like in a tight vote, like,
man, I don't know.
Do you think you'd be mad at them?
Yeah. I don't know. I know that. I would try it next time and see what happens, you know? Yeah. It probably wouldn't go so well.
Just get up and be like, hey, Jeff, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, I'll catch y'all later. See y'all at camp. Yeah.
That'd be nice. It's funny that he got his own ride back to camp too. Like, that's one of the things I was surprised about, was like, you saw him like chilling at camp waiting for everyone. So like, they like brought him home first.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that was probably a boat ride for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you've been there, right? Like, you've been on those beaches.
Yes. There's so many of them there too. So many different islands, but everything's definitely a boat ride. You're literally on the island.
Yeah. What about like, so you said Sandra, it was, somewhat satisfying to see her, you know, and obviously, you know, the big parallel was that Sandra gave her idol to Denise. You know, people could not but draw the parallel to, JT, who gave his idol to Russell. Did you feel like there was any karmic, sort of like karmic justice there?
I think so. It's just so easy to be confident, you know, it's so easy. And she just, you know, talked Denise's game down, you know, to her face and not to her face, both. She wasn't even there, you know. I mean, just, she didn't mean nothing by that, you know. She even tried to reassure herself that, you know, some people just aren't big name players, you know, and just reassured her that she's right. And I thought it was, at least she turned around and give that no big name player an idol to vote her out with. Yeah, I mean, I've done some of the same things, obviously. But it's so easily done, you know, when you get confident, then you just overlook something that you shouldn't.
I mean, that's the thing. In the moment, like, it makes sense. And then after, it's only like after it blows up and you're like, other people, you know, when you often, like, when you pull off, if you like make a big move and it works, everyone's like, you're a genius. But if you make a big move and it blows up, everyone's like, how could you?
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, man. But you know,
you got to try. I mean, would you ever, like, even if, like, is there any circumstance where you would give an idol to someone again? Or would you always be like, I just can't do that again? Like, is there, like, some circumstance where you would, like, might be like, this makes sense? Or you're just, like too traumatized by that experience?
I'm probably too traumatized. You know, I think if I was to ever have an idol in my possession, I would probably play it immediately that night. Because the longer I have it, I think it's that more dangerous. The more crazy ideas I get to how to use it or not use it.
Well, that's the thing that I think like always gets lost is like, you've got this thing and it's like burning a hole in your pocket and you're like, and then you start to like daydream about all the cool stuff you can do. And like, then suddenly you're like imagining what you're going to do at the final six. And there's like still 17 people left in the game.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of what happens so fast. You know, the game changers, yes, I definitely should have used it, but I was trying to base my decision on what was best. What would I do if I were Sandra, or what would I do if I was Jeff Bowen? And none of those was voting me out. So I literally just, I said, well, if I were them, what would I do to stay in the game? What would be my best play? And, you know, getting rid of me was not on top of that list, but they both got voted out, you know, immediately behind me, one after the other. But, you know, you think Sandra would make a better decision for herself, which is what I was basing my decision on, you know. So it was a bad move either way you look at it. But it was kind of satisfying to see the same thing happen to Sandra, you know.
And you voted for her, right? You voted for her in Heroes Villains to win.
I did. I actually voted to give her $1 million. I should have reminded you of that.
Yeah. I think I'm surprised that didn't come up in Game Changers. Like, hey, like, maybe keep me around a little bit. You know, you're at least $125,000 of the, you know, of that money.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it wasn't like that. Well, you know, the way I got put on her tribe was I was in a bad position immediately. You know, I was like the only person who lost the numbers on the swap from my tribe.
And you know, watching the TV show, it seemed like Sandra in Game Changers and Sandra in Heroes versus Villains was playing like two very different games, right? In Heroes Villains, she was very much sort of like the anyone but me player. You know, it seemed like she was trying to get the heroes to vote out Russell, but like, you know, she was still voting with Russell. So she was really, but still kind of trying to play that like low key under the radar game. Whereas in Game Changers, it seems she really came out swinging in a much bigger way. Was that difference in her play style as noticeable on the beach? Because I feel like sometimes those storylines are magnified when we're watching them on television, but maybe, like, you know, a person is still a person when you're, like, lying next to them in the shelter. Or could you tell that she, like, came to play a different game?
I could definitely tell from the get-go. I never played a lot with Sandra Heroes Village, but I was definitely familiar with her game, you know, how she played. Well, Game Changers, completely different. She had to live up to her name, you know, at Game Changers. And that's the way she played. And I knew she would play that way again this time. I don't think that would get her where she wants to be again. You know, she's going to have to do something different. But she was just, I'm the boss. This is the way it is. You know, that's the way it is. So, you know, I thought maybe some of that was showing Game Changers, but it wasn't. She played it that way right on out until she was done.
Yeah. And what about Tyson, who you've obviously now played with, twice, not so much in Heroes Villains, but, you know, we'd certainly notch some hours with Tyson in Token Sheens. Have you, like, has it been fun to, like, watch Tyson and his kind of, like, trajectory on the show, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I always love watching Tyson, man, you know that. But yeah. I was, you know, disappointed when he left the island. And obviously happy when he came back, and then again disappointed again when he left. But yeah, I like seeing him on there, man. He's kind of he's still Tyson, but you can see his experience.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Sorry about that.
Like, yeah. No. He, you know, it does seem like, you know, he's like he's got the same humor and he's got the same athleticism, or maybe, like, you know, I mean, actually in Token Sheens, he was like an incredible athlete. So maybe, like, he's still obviously a really good athlete, but, like, maybe not the same as, you know, who does at age 40 have the same athleticism as they did when they were 29?
I noticed the same thing, actually, which is hard to believe. But yeah, I think he was definitely more of an athlete in Token Sheens, which, you know, Tyson, a mediocre athlete for him, is he can compete with some of the best. You know, I mean, he's a really good athlete. He's built for it. But you know, seeing his, like, his, do you remember how his survivor wit, I guess, how he would just pull us to the side sometimes and be like, you know, when we get to the end, you would vote for me, not Coach, right? I mean, if, you know, just assuming that you and I were satisfied with, you know, fourth or fifth or whatever, he was trying to, you know, go ahead and nail it down. He was getting our vote for the final, for the $1 million. And we were just like, yeah, of course, man, of course.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things that, like, really prompted me to, like, flip on those guys too. I remember, like, being in the water one day with, like, Debbie. And she was like, you know, we were like, I was like trying to get to know everyone because it was fun to meet people. You know, that's one of the great things about the merge is, like, you actually meet new people because you're kind of, like, sick of everyone on your tribe by that point. Yeah. And Debbie was like, oh yeah, you've got to meet new people. You're going to be on the jury. And I was like, screw you. You're going to be on the jury. Like, you know, they really did just, like, assume that we were going to be, you know, there. But then I think that, you know, after, you know, it was like maybe with Tony, you know, I kind of think, like, getting voted out early in Heroes Villains, like, brought Tyson back with, like, a fury in Blood versus Water and, like, more chastened. And I kind of, like, felt the same thing with Tony coming back this season, where it's like, you know, like, maybe I kind of think getting voted off early in Game Changers was, like, the best thing that could have happened for Tony this season.
I think so, too. I mean, you really see a much more under control Tony than I saw in Game Changers, you know, and which is good. I think he had a rough time in Game Changers, as did I, you know, and when we talked a lot at Ponderosa, and he's in a good place. I think he's going to do well.
Yeah. And what about Boston Rob, who you've obviously met it quite a few times and played against? What do you think of? Did Rob have any chance, or was he just always going to be, you know, an early target this season?
I feel like they were going to target Rob pretty quick. I mean, he's his game is, the longer he's in the game, the harder it's going to be to get rid of him, because he spreads his web out and he, like, he works on them. I mean, it's hard work to keep up with everybody and to know exactly what everyone's thinking or doing at all times. You know, that's hard work. And you have to stay on top of it. And Rob does that. I mean, he keeps an eye on everybody. But the longer he's in the game, the more dangerous he is, obviously, because he builds his roots. But I think they do the right thing. I think that's, you know, with all winners out there, I couldn't imagine how Rob could make it to the end. You know, there's a lot of people out there that know the same thing I know, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, especially coming off a season like 28, where he just had like a giant head of himself made, him and Sandra.
Yeah.
How do you like, you know, take the target off you and like your target is the size of like a mountain?
His best chance would have been to do whatever he has to do to win and stay in the game just enough, long enough to build some dependable relationships, because man, everybody wants to win. Keeping Rob in the game is not a good way to do it.
Now, what did you think of like his strategy of no one can go talk? We're all going to sit here together. You know, everyone has to keep quiet. Can like that ever work? Because I kind of feel like the structure of the show where people are being called off for interviews is like just fundamentally going to make that an impossible strategy to execute.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Obviously, if you could do that, you could control them. But, you know, you've got to really have some people's got to really believe that they depend on you. That'll work when you're playing with a whole new cast and you're a returning player and no one else is. Then, yeah, you could do that, you know, just like he did. But doing it with returning players or, you know, winners and that, there's no way you could do that. I mean, I don't see how it worked before with a new cast, but it did. I don't think it would ever work again with a new cast or anybody for that matter. But that immediately, if I was on the island, someone started dictating things, immediately I would be like, okay, am I going to join this guy right here and play dumb the whole time, or am I going to get rid of him now? You know, because that's just a moot clash. You know, everybody has to be able to move and do their own thing. I think he was probably not going to make it very far this season, just for the caliber of players and the dynamics and everything. And like you said, the mountain of Rob that everyone just saw, you know, a couple seasons ago. What was that last season?
That was two seasons ago.
Two seasons ago, okay.
Oh no! Wait! No! I'm sorry. It was last season. Yeah. Island of the Idols was last season. Yeah, last season. Sorry about that. I blocked that season out. It was just so many things I want to forget about it. What about Parvati? Someone else again, like you have not really played with, but you know you've certainly seen her play. You played her against her. What about her game? Do you think she could have ever won? Like, do you think she mixed it up enough to do well? Like, what are your thoughts about her?
You know, I was actually shocked when Parvati got voted out, because she does so well at you know, getting a foundation in a game and staying safe. But, I thought she had a chance to make it as far or even win the game, because they're all winners. You know, I didn't think they would target her as much as Rob, but you know, they did. And it's probably a wise move, I'll be honest. There's probably she's good. She's clever. But I think she may have let her guard down a little this game. I'm not sure.
The other two I want to ask you about are Ben and Nick Wilson, because, you know, I feel like a lot of people are like, they took JT's spot, you know, the kind of like country guy spot. They're kind of like being occupied by those two. Like, are you enjoying watching them? Do you feel any kinship to them? You know, do you think their strategies make sense this season?
I think so. I think they're both, you know, they're both doing well. You said Ben and Nick.
Nick, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to make a joke about how no one knows who Nick is, but it's not going to work out. People say he's our son, JT. People say he's like a combination of the two of us.
Yeah, and that's what I heard. I think it was you that may have sent me that picture with...
Yeah, that like meme, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I think he's clever and he's playing hard. I just don't know. I don't see him making it to the end. I feel like someone's going to get rid of him. But, you know, hopefully not. I think Ben's playing a fair game also. But Ben is more, he's almost like, I feel like he's been too cut and dry. He's, you know, he's drawing the line in the sand. I feel like it may hurt him pretty soon, but who knows?
Yeah, I was so surprised with Jeremy and Ben, where like Jeremy's like, Ben, you got to work with me. And Ben's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to. It was like something like, I don't have to listen to you. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that right there would be one of the downsides to Ben's game, I would think. Because, I mean, obviously, the Survivor, you want to work with everybody, especially if they ask, you know, you always say, yes, let's work together. What can I do to help you? You know, I got your back to the end. Of course I do. You know, but drawing the line is just like now Jeremy's in the game, you know, and I don't think Jeremy's going to be too willing to work with Ben if it doesn't suit Jeremy next time, you know. That's the other side.
Yeah, at least play along. I feel like that's like one of the things that, like, just play along, just pretend,
yeah.
Like, you know, and then they have to pretend too. And then it's like, you know, it's like when you vote someone out and then like they're big allies, like, why did you vote them out? And you're like, oh, cause they were coming to get you. And like, I'm actually seriously your friend. And even though I voted against you, we're really friends. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They can't not believe you. Yeah. What about, you know, who else the people we haven't talked about left in the game are like Michelle, Kim, and Denise. You know, obviously Kim, one of the most dominant players ever. And you know, Denise, you know, a great wily player, and Michelle as well. Someone who, you know, maybe was underrated, you know, in terms of people's perception of her. And now is really coming out swinging. Do you have any, thoughts about any of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Denise is doing, she's really done well when she let Xandra's plan backfire on her. I thought that was really sharp. I mean, the fact that she just kept her calm and didn't say anything when, you know, Xandra's basically talking her down, her and others, I thought Denise done really well. And it looked like she really thought about it and she had her mind made up, you know, when she went to tribal and she protected her closest, you know, Jeremy. I thought that was really cool. So I like the game she's playing. She's not trying to hide, but I think she's doing a good job of just laying back a little bit and kind of letting it come to her. Michelle impressed me, just her awareness, you know, of what was going on. She kind of had a good, you know, awareness of things aren't looking as good all of a sudden, you know, what's going on. And you know, of course, Kim's dominant, like you said. She still is. So, you know, I think they're playing a great game. You know, I almost hated to see Sophie go because she's a good player also, you know, but whichever one is that's out there. But I think that Denise is doing, you know, probably the better of those three, if you ask me.
Because she's like a little more stealth, or why do you say that?
Well, I say she's not hustling, running around, which, you know, running around and trying to drum up stuff is double-edged sword, you know. You either drum up stuff against you or for you. So, you know, sometimes not drumming up anything is better than drumming up just drama, you know. So I think that, you know, according to, you know, based on the way I would play, which is not always the best way to play, obviously. But, you know, I look at it like, you know, I can see where I would do that. And I kind of start rooting for those players, you know. If I know someone personally, like I do Tony now, I'm like, okay, if we can make it through this, it'll be all right, you know. So I don't know Denise and Michelle or Kim personally very much, but just going by the way they're playing the game, I think, you know, Denise is, she's on point right now. She's laying low, keeping her name out of the pot.
Now, do you feel like every time you go back, you try to change the game that you're playing? Like, do you sort of like or do you feel like you're just going to play who you are? And, you know, nothing, you know, like you're just going to like play your game and like you can only be yourself? Or do you feel like you consciously try to like change your game?
You know, camp life, I'm basically myself, you know, but I consciously try to change. I go into it with a conscious plan, I guess you could say, which obviously everything changes. But, you know, that was probably my downfall. This the last time I played was one of it was that, you know, I went into it like, this time I wanted to play confident and the challenges, like if there was a spot that nobody wanted to do, then that was me, you know? And, basically I just threw myself out there on the challenges more than I did any other season. And, you know, won a lot of them. You know, we were dominant. When Ozzie and I were on the same team, I didn't think, and Culpepper, I didn't think that we could ever lose. And then Malcolm and I the same way. Well, I kind of got caught up in that and let my social game maybe not. You know, I just kind of got sidetracked on those challenges, but it really doesn't matter if you win the reward or not, you know. And really, it don't matter if you win immunity. If you do, you're guaranteed to be safe. That's obvious. But when you're still in before the merge, it's really not, you know, it's not that big a deal. So I think, you know, like the first season, I was worried more about the social game. And luckily, I got in with you, someone who's dominates the social end of it. But I think I kind of let
I know you were the key to the social game. I mean, like, I don't need to interrupt you, but you go ahead.
No, you're fine, man. Well, you know, I definitely felt better with you there. I see that. I feel like playing returning players, like I can't play the same game. I cannot play. You know, I was really genuine the first season, and I feel like if I played that way, it would short lived. You know, so I try to change a little bit every time. But for 39 days, it's hard to put on a show for 39 days. The true colors are going to come out, you know.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that, like, coming into a season like Winners at War, do you think this is sort of a season where, like, you need to be someone who's making big moves? You know, last episode they talked about, like, what kind of resume you should have. Or do you think it's better to, you know, I guess you're saying it's a little bit better to kind of, you know, go a little bit more slowly like Denise is going and not be as out there?
Let the moves come to you, I would say, man, like Denise did. I mean, she didn't, you know, plan that, mastermind that. She let somebody else who was itching to make a bad move, trying to prove themselves, live up to their name, and, you know, just like you feel like you got to do something to make these big moves. Well, you got to make a big move, but you got to make it when it comes to you. I've learned that. If anybody knows that, it's me. You can't force it. You know, there's going to be opportunities where you could make moves that would be big all throughout the game, but let it come to you. You know, I feel like you and I have done a great job of that versus just voting out, you know, rock and vote immediately, you know, which we could have done. But we were slowly working into it. I think that's still going to be the best strategy, because right now, when there's a war, everybody's itching to make bad moves, you know. So stay active, but, you know, let somebody else come up with it.
Yeah, you know, I felt that way in Cambodia, where, like, I kind of was, like, trying to make a big play with my steal a vote advantage, and it kind of blew up in my face. Whereas if I had just been playing a more defensive game, I actually was texting with Tony afterwards, and he was saying, like, you know, you got to play defensive. That's, you know, you got to be defensive. You know, like if there was any, my Tony impression is not good. But if there was any doubt, you know, because, like, if I was at all doubtful about Spencer, to just be a little more, like, defensive in terms of how to play that, as a, you know, and to hear that from someone who's, as you know, notoriously aggressive as Tony, to be like, you know, I mean, the thing is, like, Tony, like you're saying, he has these, like, superhuman reads, you know, like the rest of us can't count on these, like, incredible Tony instincts to, like, keep to guide you through everything.
I know that's the truth, man. I mean, I saw it in the game, but at Ponderosa, we spent hours and hours together, and he has a BS detector. I mean, he detects it a mile away.
Yeah. What do you think about these fire tokens? Like, are you a favorite? I mean, you know, one thing that you've always told me ever since we first met 10 years ago is that what you felt Survivor was really missing was a robust economy.
Exactly. You know, I mean, who doesn't want to think about shopping and you know, retirement when you're on Survivor, you know? I really thought I got a kick out of the deal with Tony this last show, where they were basically he was stoked because he was about to get this reward or immunity or something, and he realized he was being exploited. that was funny to me, man. I mean, he was just like all smiles and all giggly, and about halfway through reading it, he's like, wait a minute. And he went back and reread it. He was like, what? that was a smart move by Barbie. She knew that that he would do whatever it took to get those tokens.
Oh yeah. I mean, they really picked the right guy. I mean, what a great like Tony centric episode. What a fun, just like fun episode.
I laughed a lot. I laughed more in that episode than I've laughed the whole time in the show.
But do you think you would want to play with fire tokens? Like, if you went back ever again, would you want there to be fire tokens, or would you want there not to be fire tokens?
You know, it would be okay with me. I mean, it would be okay. I don't see why not. You know, I think it would be, you know, I'll see how it goes towards the end of the season. But really, it wouldn't matter to me. It's just another dynamic that I don't see where, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't see where it could just kill somebody's game because of fire tokens. You know, so maybe it spice things up a little bit, if anything.
Yeah. So one other thing that, like, the great Rob Cesternino told me to, I didn't draw this connection, but he was saying that this vote that happened last episode where they, you know, this majority alliance is about to split its votes on Jeremy and Michelle. And then Tony has this plan. Hey, I can get these four people together and vote out Sophie. He was saying kind of was similar to when you voted out Suri in Heroes versus Villains, where the majority was going to split their votes, I think, on Tom and Colby or Tom and Stephanie, because like Tom had an idol, and you kind of like got this group together to vote out Suri. Like, did that, you know, how did that plan come together at that time?
Well, I went into the game kind of thinking about who my biggest threats were, and we all know how good a player Suri is. And in the back of my mind, and I don't know, somebody may give me some advice too, I don't know. But I knew that the first chance I got to get rid of Suri, that I had to do it. So
I bear no responsibility for this.
if I'm not badly mistaken, you may have said, JP, if you get a chance to get rid of Suri, God, do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's a sensible thing. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
It makes sense, though, yeah. Well, so, you know, lo and behold, I kept figuring out the numbers here, and I'm like, wait a minute. I got this group begging me to vote with them right here. And, you know, I could probably save face and vote with them. How would I explain it to the other people? I don't know. And I looked around and said, well, it's Rupert, James, and Amanda. It'd be pretty easy to explain it to them. You know, so it was the first opportunity I had. And, you know, I really liked Suri as a person. And, you know, I hated to see her go. But all I, you know, I was there to win the game. And that's all I could think about. It definitely got lucky after that. And, you know, I don't know that that was, it turned out to be the best move for me. It didn't put me out of the game. It didn't hurt me like that. But Suri may have been more helpful than Rupert moving forward, if you know what I mean. But, you know, it's, I knew Suri was a big threat, man. And the first chance I got to get rid of her, I did. And I was kind of hoping the game changers that Suri and I may get back together, but it didn't work out.
Did she... Or when you went back to camp after that vote, where you kind of had flipped it sort of at the last minute, right? Like, because your alliance didn't know that you were going to do that.
No one knew about it. You know, I told Colby and Tom I was, but, you know, I was going to tell them that anyway. But,
yeah.
But no, nobody knew. When we got back, I had to immediately start explaining myself. But, you know, it was, I knew, I said, well, no matter what, tomorrow she won't be here and I'll be that much closer. You know, so that's kind of how I made my decision. And, you know, now you see a lot more of that than we used to.
Yeah. And were people pissed? Like, how pissed were, like, James and Amanda and Rupert? Were they able to kind of forgive you? Or, like, do you think that it, like, fundamentally hurt your game? Because, like, maybe they never could fully trust you after that.
You know, they probably didn't fully trust me. Rupert, he got the maddest. But Rupert, that's what Rupert does. He gets mad, you know. But it really didn't bother me. I was most worried about Amanda because I felt like she could socially hurt me more if she was mad at me. James, he understood, you know. We were cool. And Amanda eventually did. Candace was a wreck the whole time anyway. But you know, looking back, it would have been. Suri's a good ally, a good person to have on your side, but I don't know that she would have got rid of me too, just as easy as I got rid of her. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to second guess that kind of thing. But I do see your point that, like, maybe, you know, one thing that was also amazing was that all of the heroes were on board with giving that idol to Russell. Like, you know, no one was saying, like, hey, let's not do this. Like, all of you guys were in that. Like, you know, did anyone kind of put their hand up and be like, hey, like, let's not do this?
No, not at all. In fact, I mean, everyone came up with, you know, ways to do it and this and that and the other. But now, once we merged, we knew that Russell, we were all skeptical of Russell then. Once we merged and saw Russell, like we were not,
right.
We knew we had to lie to him too. You know, it wasn't like, hey, we're trying to win Russell over. We knew that chances were he may not be with us. So that's why we were trying to be crafty with the idols. And you know, it would have never went the way it did had Amanda not kind of told Parvati to play her idol. You know, because then well, there's no way she's going to tell me to play my idol. You know, I know they're not voting for me then. You know, so that gave her left the other two people. Because we knew that the worst case scenario, we would be a tie, that we'd go to, you know, revote. And we thought in a revote, one of them would flip their vote. If not, then we would just draw rocks. I knew that I still may not be going on. Pretty good chance I'm not going home. You know, so I was kind of confident with that in mind. But I had no idea there would be a possibility that they knew exactly. We were voting Jerry, which nobody expected. But how would they find out we were voting Jerry? Well, when Amanda told Parvati that, she said, well, they're not voting me and they're not voting Russell. She put her two idols on the other two players. And besides Sandra, she knew we weren't voting Sandra. So it basically narrowed it down. You know? So it was like, I knew there were votes coming my way. I knew there was a chance I'd go home, but I had no idea they would know they would be able to pick Jerry as our target. So I almost felt like somebody had to leak something, you know, or that would never happen.
And Amanda also, she wrote that famous letter, right? Like she was the actual one who wrote it.
I think so. Probably so. Yeah. She's the one that had a way to write a paper pen. Yeah. That was like her special, her, you know, item from home or whatever.
Yeah, it's such an iconic moment in this show's history. I mean, like, is there any part of you that's like, I'm happy to be a part? I mean, like, even though it kind of blew up in my face, like, it's kind of cool to be a part of this, like, seminal moment in this huge reality show.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's sour. I mean, it sucks when you think about, you know, how it was not a success. But it was still, you know, a first time for any kind of a play like that. You know, it's the first time it's been attempted. And then, you know, like I just even the second time, I mean, even in Game Changers, I couldn't figure out a way to signal to
Culpepper. I was going to ask you about this.
Brad Culpepper. Yeah. I couldn't figure out a way to signal Culpepper. And so I just got up and went over there. And now it's like a normal people just get up and start whispering. And,
That was truly a game changing moment where like you actually like no one had ever gotten out of their seat and walked across the room before. Like now last episode or two episodes ago, they're like everyone's getting up and like walking off in different directions.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like I wanted some way to see him so bad, but we were sitting and I couldn't do it, you know. And so I was like, if this is going to work, I'm just going to have to tell him. They're going to know I told him anyway. But he was supposed to get rid of Sandra, you know, chop the head off so that I could survive over there, but it didn't work out.
I mean, were you like at all nervous that you were going to get like shut, like not allowed to do it? Or were you confident when you got up that it would be cool?
You know, I never really thought about the production side of it really. It was just a necessity. That's the only way I could communicate with him. And it never really, you know, I figured if they said no or whatever, I'd be able to get to him and make my point before they did, you know.
I mean, now people think that it's, I mean, myself included, I think that it's gone a little bit too far where it's like everyone's whispering all the time. Like you don't even know what's happening at tribal council anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there should be some sort of, you know, Jeff should probably bring it in, you know, bring it in like just a few seconds of that right there is about all you want. Because, you know, that this last time when I think it was Adam, was that his name, that went home a couple weeks ago, you know, they kind of, it kind of got to a point where it was kind of, I don't know, hateful, but I mean, it's always hateful on Survivor, but basically somebody fighting for, you know, begging to stay and people just shooting down saying, well, it's too bad. I mean, this is the way it's going to be. You know, I don't necessarily like that much. You know, it was too much talking, really, too much whispering and chit-chatting. And it kind of basically, before it was over with, he knew exactly who was going. Everybody knew who was going home because nobody talked to him. You know, I think that if you can figure it out pretty quick, you know, one or two words, about all you really need, you know, before, I think Jeff should probably come up and say, you know, y'all should have, you know, get this together, figure it out, this type of vote, whatever, you know.
Yes. I agree. I think, you know, some kind of like way to cut it off.
Like, it's not a debate.
What else? I mean, this is
like a last minute piece of information you just got to get out. It's not necessarily, I don't think it should be a debate.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What about I'm trying to think of some other big moves that kind of you were engaged in. Like, what are some of your other like favorite, you know, just like survivor moves that you sort of pulled off, or, you know, favorite like survivor war stories?
I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed Game Changers. I thought it was because I had to. I was, you know, after we switched tribes and I was outnumbered 5-1, I knew my days were numbered. I thought that Malcolm and I on the same team would win enough to maybe buy me some time to find an idol. So I'm like, yeah, how can I get, I'm the only one that's familiar with this beach, so how am I going to get them away so I can go looking for an idol? I was like, you know what, the best thing is to go fishing off here, you know, this point over here, and I'll take y'all out. You know, we'll go on the raft. So I load them up, and it's like a school bus. I'll take them all out there, show them, this is the best spot right here. Now I'll be right back. I got to go get the pliers, you know? So I take off all the way back to camp where I know I'm the only one there then, you know? They'd have to literally swim for 15 minutes to get to where I'm at now. So I'm like ramsacking the place. I thought that was worked out really good for me. I kind of suckered them into going out far enough that I hadn't actually had a little time to look, you know?
Oh yeah. And I loved that, that scene, that honestly, like, that was one of my favorite scenes like ever in Survivor, when you just like strand them in the ocean and they're like, where's JT?
Yeah, I'll be right back. And, you know, it took us 30 minutes to get out there. So I was like, yeah, I'll be right back.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, this has been so fun. I'm trying to think of anything else that I should be asking you about, like anything about this season. Like, do you have like a favorite, you know, person who's going to win or whatever?
You know, I'm pulling for my closest, you know, I'm hoping, you know, Tony's doing well right now. I think he may do well. You know, Sarah's a great friend of mine. I'm rooting for her, and Jeremy. You know, we'll see. The old school, what they call the old school players, I guess, are pretty much out of the game. Would you consider Tony old school or new school?
Oh, I think he's new school. I think people do the cutoff at like Survivor 20. Yeah, Here's Villains is typically the cutoff.
Okay. All right. I didn't know the cutoff, but yeah, okay. Cool.
But I actually think it's like more recent than that, because I feel like the game has changed more in like the past 10 seasons than it did in like, you know, the previous 20 seasons. But you know better than me. Like, you played old school, mid school, and new school Survivor.
Yeah, well, I did worse and worse as time went on, so I'm definitely probably an old school player. I think Heroes and Villains did change, and I think I probably had a lot to do with that. Russell and myself both. Changed the way it was played. I think so. But more so every season. Like you said, the newest has changed even more dramatically. One thing's for sure, it's cutthroat. And right now, I think now you got to get more lucky than I think some good, hard playing and awareness and good alliances before you could do well. Now it takes more than that. A good alliance is short lived. You're not going to have an alliance throughout the whole game. You might get back, might get lucky and end up back with that person again in the end, but chances are you're not. So I think that the old school way of play is definitely gone. I think now you got to get a little bit lucky and you got to act when the time's right, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you need to be luckier than you used to. I mean, do you think that there's any part of it, like, do you think it's like a different type of person who can succeed? Like, someone, you know, do you think it's like a different style of player?
You know, I don't think it's necessarily, it doesn't have to be a different style of player, because it took someone that could make friends immediately before. And it's almost like you're going to be switched up so much now that you almost got to do a day one multiple times. And, you know, so you can still be that, you know, charming person and get yourself farther in the game, no doubt. But you have to be willing to, you have to know that these alliances, these relationships, they're going to come and go a lot quicker, and they may or may not be there when you need them. You know, you got to be more, you know, more willing to, you got to be more flexible.
Yeah. And how, just before we go, like, how's everything in Mobile? How's social distancing there? Are you keeping the cows 6 feet apart?
Yeah, lucky for me, I don't see a whole lot of people during the day anyway when I'm working. So I'm basically business as usual on the farm. Of course, you know, I go straight home, you know, after leave the farm. I don't see anybody at all. I don't go into town very much. You know, I just come straight home. But fortunately, I'm able to get out of the house because my wife would probably kill me if I wasn't.
I do remember that pregame in Token Sheens, like everyone, when they were asked, like, who's the first person they wanted to eliminate, they were like, that guy over there cannot sit still for 30 seconds. Like, he is going to be crazy. And then, of course, the things dramatically changed once the game started. But I actually didn't notice that. But like everyone else was like, man, that guy could not sit still.
I didn't notice it either.
Tell people who are listening, you know, whatever you're willing to share just about, like, because I don't know if people know what you like, what you actually do. Like, you're a cattle rancher. You've got your Black Angus cattle.
Yep. I have about 100 head of registered Black Angus cattle, and I do artificial insemination and raise them for breeding stock. But I've recently started raising a few of them for to put in the freezer, you know, to sell directly to consumer. So, we're trying to, you know, kind of experiment a little bit with that and see what the best ways that I might could do that and potentially kind of letting that dominate the cattle herd eventually if it works out.
When you say direct to consumer, do you mean like from you to the consumer, like your own business, or would there be like a middleman?
No, it would be from me to the consumer. I would basically go.
Oh, cool.
I would go to a USDA approved slaughterhouse, you know, with all my animals. That, and then when it's returned, I basically will have, you know, inventory to sell, or I would sell, the way I do it now is I sell the animal, and, you know, they get it cut the way they want it cut. And basically you buy half the animal or the whole animal. But I'd like to get where I could sell, you know, because that's a lot of meat. We're talking like hundreds of pounds of meat in the freezer. So a lot of people don't, you know, aren't willing to buy that much. Well, right now, the way times are, especially right now, it's just there's such a need for it, and there's nothing in Mobile County, you know, which I'd like to sell, you know, across the nation. Let's be real. You know, I don't have that many cattle, and I think the demand right here would be more than I could ever keep up with. So I'm just trying to figure out how I could, you know, work that out, basically. But, yeah, that's... Every day I'm handling cows, moving them, working them, feeding them, doing something with them.
That's cool that you got this new business. Do you know what you're going to call it?
Well, it's still Jet Farms. It's still Jet Farms. And, yeah. It'll be, you know, Jet Farms meat. You know, the beef will be labor Jet Farms and all. It'll be grass-fed. All, you know, everything's natural. I don't give my animals any antibiotics or anything like that. So, you know, it's what we need. It's what the people in our country need is good, clean food source, you know, because all the diseases and things we get today, for me, it seems we get tons of them that we didn't used to. And with the technology, we should be getting way less, not more. So it has to be our food source, you know.
Well, JT, this has been so fun. Thank you for agreeing to do this. And I know people are going to be really excited to hear from you. I hear all the time, like, what's JT up to? Why isn't JT on Instagram? Can you send JT a message for me? I'm like, I'm not his secretary. You know, if you can send, you know, you figure it out, you know, like, so, have you ever think about getting on Instagram?
Caleb almost had me talked into it a little bit when we were in Ponderosa, but by the end of Ponderosa, there was no way I was getting on Instagram. I'm so tired of hearing him talk about it. Me and Tony laughed so hard because that's all he could think about was Instagram. But, you know, not really. I probably never thought of it. And look, Stephen, I appreciate you doing my secretary work for the past 10 or 15 years now. Because, you have done that, man. I appreciate that. I really do. If you want to get an Instagram under my name, you can. I give you permission. But I'm probably not going to, man. I still got a Facebook account. I can't remember, you know, I really don't know what's going on there, but I do have Facebook.
I think I convinced you to get a Facebook account, too, back in the day.
I have never forgiven you for that. Either. Just want to let you know. Just so well as I say.
All right, man. It's great chatting with you. Have a great weekend. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Take care.